Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis from the one and only vice presidential debate in the 2016 cycle. Jim is on the road and on the phone as he returns from the vice presidential debate, which, of course, was at Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia. So he's returning back to the D.C. area as we speak. So, Jim, I'm sure you've got some firsthand observations that you'll be sharing along the way. But our good martini is that for the first time, certainly in the general election portion of this campaign, we actually have bona fide, conservative, articulated principles and policies that we can just relax and say, ah, we finally have a conservative on one of these stages. And we're going to play a number of these bites because we're pretty sure that's the last time we're going to hear very articulately expressed conservative sound bites in a forum like this, even though there are two presidential debates to go. First of all, here's Mike Pence talking about what Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine want to do with the economy.
What you all just heard out there is more taxes, $2 trillion in more spending, more deficits, more debt, more government. And if you think that's all working, then you look at the other side of the table.
Then he articulated conservative principles on what should be done.
Donald Trump and I have a plan to get this economy moving again, just the way that it worked in the 1980s, just the way it worked in the 1960s. And that is by lowering taxes across the board for working families, small businesses, and family farms, ending the war on coal. It is hurting jobs and hurting this economy, even here in Virginia. Repealing Obamacare, lock, stock, and barrel, and repealing all of the executive orders that Barack Obama has signed that are stifling economic growth in this economy. We can get America moving again.
On the issue of race and policing, Pence had an actually thorough answer rather than just blurting out law and order.
We ought to assure the public that we'll have a full and complete and transparent investigation whenever there's a loss of life because of police action. But, Senator, please, you know, enough of this seeking every opportunity to demean law enforcement broadly by making the accusation of implicit bias every time tragedy occurs.
Excellent response there from Pence. The full response is also good. We couldn't play all of it. And then one of the final questions was about your views spiritually or morally. And Pence talked about abortion and particularly nailed the Democrats on two areas of abortion that are very unpopular in this country.
The very idea that a child that is almost born into the world could still have their life taken from them is just anathema to me. And I can't conscience about a party that supports that, or that I know you've historically opposed taxpayer funding of abortion, but Hillary Clinton wants to repeal the long-standing provision in the law where we said we wouldn't use taxpayer dollars to fund abortions.
So, Jim, there's a lot more we could have used there, but it was great to hear Mike Pence, who can very ably articulate conservative points on a whole host of issues. There was a lot on foreign policy, too, that we didn't have audio of right there. He did a good job of sidestepping all the landmines on Trump. Why spend time defending much of which is not defensible and really going after Hillary Clinton and staying on message with conservative points? So Mike Pence is definitely the highlight of this general election campaign.
Greg, don't you think, as a radio professional, as a guy who's worked in radio most of your career, don't you think we can attribute Mike Pence's excellent performance to his previous work in radio?
Absolutely.
Isn't that, I'm only half joking when I say that, in that Mike Pence was prepared. By the way, do you see, Donald? This is why we take the time to study our briefing books and to think about what we want to say ahead of time and to kind of have these little phrases and key points in our heads ready to go, ready to deploy when the opportunity arises. I think, Pence was very polished. He was very succinct. He made his points very well in a short period of time. And he had to do it because Tim Kaine kept interrupting him, but we'll get to that in a later martini. Remember, it came down to, I believe, Newt Gingrich, Chris Christie, or Mike Pence was the rumored three final choices. We don't know how Gingrich or Christie would have done last night, but I think Pence looks like a really good choice. He has become made the conservative case. I think he simply, you're right, he simply avoided the topic when it came to the question of, could he defend Trump on some of his more outrageous or controversial statements? If you're a conservative Republican, that's exactly what you wanted to see last night. And maybe, if you've been having doubts about Trump, maybe you feel better knowing that Mike Pence is going to be, not at the head of the table, but right next to Trump and there to articulate your views. I don't think he could have done it that much better. Now, will a vice presidential debate be a big game changer? It very rarely is, but he did really very little harm, and I think he did, after a really rough week, the Trump campaign needed it, and I think you might see people more referring to it as the Trump-Kane campaign. I'm sorry, the Trump-Pence campaign. This is what happens all day long. I'm mixing up Kane and Pence because they're both five-letter words that end with E. So they need to differentiate themselves that way. But no, the Indiana governor really did himself a favor last night. I think he helped the ticket, and we'll see if there's any lasting effects. But boy, you know, in a chaotic year, cool, calm, collected preparation just looks miraculous.
Yeah, it absolutely does, and it was definitely a balm for conservatives, and we'll see if it moves minds and opinions when the polls come out, although by the time the next polls come out, we'll probably be past the second presidential debate, which is on Sunday against Sunday Night Football. Let's move on to the bad martini now, and we're still not to Tim Kaine yet, although he could certainly qualify, but Elaine Quijano from CBS News was the moderator last night. She's polished. She had a good intro and a good outro, and then everything in between, she barely got out. They largely ignored her questions. She didn't have a lot of tough questions, certainly for Kaine, outside of the first one about why your candidate's so unpopular. But most of all, Jim, she just lost control of the thing with not only Kaine's interrupting, but a ton of crosstalk overall. Here's a bit of a montage that CNN put together.
And paid a few taxes and lost $1 billion a year. You are Donald Trump's apprentice. Let me talk about this
issue.
Senator,
I think I'm still on my time.
Well, I think, isn't this a discussion?
This is our open discussion.
Let's talk about the state of the world.
Let me interrupt you and finish my sentence if I can. While she was Secretary of State,
now I can weigh in.
She had a private server
that
was discovered to keep that pay-to-play process out of the reach of
Governor Pence.
So, Jim, it was odd that she didn't jump in most of the time, especially when Kaine kept coming in. And then when she did decide to jump in was odd. She wasn't even going to give Pence a chance to talk about cybersecurity, which, of course, he smartly used to talk about Hillary's server and her emails. And then she quickly tried to shut him up on that. Howie Kurtz probably had the best analysis here, calling it, quote, the Excedrin debate and, quote, it was like an endless cable segment from hell.
Yeah. This is one of those moments where I wanted Quijano to lapse into Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop and just to let out a big, shut up! To both of them. We'll talk more about this again. The Tim Kaine really was the more interrupting figure, but and I don't want to be too harsh on her. Moderating a debate is not easy. This is her first time doing this. But, you know, Lester Holt, one of the things he had done fairly well in that first presidential debate was he let the candidates talk. And when they were going back and forth, you don't need to jump in every couple of minutes. If they're actually having a debate, if they're actually having arguments back and forth, that's okay. In my mind, you can throw away the clock because it seems like there's an edifying exchange. That the montage you just played, Greg, there's nothing edifying because we can't understand what they're saying. It's and then in the middle of it, Tim Kaine, you're Donald Trump's apprentice, you know. I remembered that zinger right there. Your mama. So she really kind of seemed absent for large stretches. She couldn't, you know, keep these guys on topic. At one point she said, that's great, but I asked about North Korea. She needed to be a little, I think she would have been fine if she'd been a little tougher there. She could have rebuked either one of them, in particular Kaine, for interrupting so much. I think the topic selection was fine. Hit a variety of topics. There's a lot of back and forth and the interjections and argumentative but boring at the same time. I don't see any, you know, you're no Jack Kennedy moments in this one. I don't think you're going to have any great quotable things out of that. You know, I think you got to give her a C at best. Fine in general for topic selection and things like that, but she really let it turn into an endless festival of crosstalk and, you know, less edifying than it could have been.
Speaking of which, let's move on to the last martini and Tim Kaine.
Greg, you're Donald Trump's apprentice.
there.
That's pretty much how it was. Every time Mike Pence started...
You finished, but before Kanye interrupted Taylor Swift, Tim Kaine jumped on stage and interrupted Kanye.
Across Twitter, across social media, the number of people, particularly...
I'm going to let you finish, but I want you to know that Tim Kaine's favorite movie is Girl Interrupted.
The women especially not happy with Tim Kaine. They just thought it was...
Finish, but I'm going to run this gag into the ground. No. Insert coitus interruptus joke here. Now I will let you finish, Greg. But that's my Tim Kaine impression.
That was a perfect Tim Kaine impression from last night. A lot of canned lines, as Mike Pence dutifully pointed out. I don't think he did her a lot of good. He wasn't very good at defending her. He obviously tried to drop in Trump's name as much as possible to distract from the good points that Mike Pence was making. He tried to suggest that not paying taxes potentially was not being patriotic after 9/11 and so forth. So a lot of things Tim Kaine probably could have done better and didn't, which is good for conservatives and Republicans. He kind of came off as a weasel, and that's kind of how Virginia voters have seen him for a long time.
Indeed. And I actually think this was a strategic mistake on the part of the Clinton campaign. You know, look, right now, Hillary Clinton is ahead in most of the polls. She's a slight favorite, but not overwhelming right now. She had a good debate and a good week from the debate. But if you look at the state of the race right now, I have a hard time believing that what's holding Hillary Clinton back is the idea that Donald Trump hasn't been attacked enough. Donald Trump's been attacked. They have attacked Donald Trump and attacked him. And the thing is, I don't think most Trump supporters are voting for him because they think he's a nice guy, or they think because he's very honest, or because he's very charitable. I mean, the argument for Trump almost has very little to do with him as a candidate and or a human being. Right? Trump is a voice. You know, you're voting for Trump, you're voting for change. You're voting for Trump because you're fed up with the system and the status quo. You want to send a message to Washington. You feel forgotten. You feel no reason to think that Hillary Clinton and the continued Democrat in the White House is really going to change things for the better. I don't think attacking Donald Trump really addresses any of those concerns. And I really feel like if Hillary Clinton really wants to gain any traction beyond where she is right now, she and Kaine would have to try to make a positive message for themselves. Try to really reassure people, no, it's going to be different under me, and here's why. And Tim Kaine had probably the better chance to do that because, look, Hillary Clinton has been in the national spotlight since 1992, 1993. Everybody knows her. Everybody knows what they think of her. But going into yesterday, Greg, there were 46% of Americans couldn't name who Hillary Clinton's running mate was, right? They have a vague idea of who Tim Kaine is. This was his introduction to the American people. And I think it was a terrible introduction. If you talk to the people who covered Tim Kaine and covered him throughout his career, they say the man you saw on stage last night isn't the real Tim Kaine, that usually he's a much nicer human being. And you know what? I believe them, because it would be hard to be that annoying all the time. Ultimately, I think if Tim Kaine had gone out there and tried to make a more positive message for Hillary Clinton, for himself, for the Democratic agenda, for the Democratic philosophy. I mean, Mike Pence went after Obamacare. And Tim Kaine didn't even bother to defend it. Right? That struck me as a very revealing moment there. And I think it was in part because the Clinton campaign wanted him out there as an attack dog. And maybe they didn't trust him as to give a positive message. Maybe they didn't want him talking about his own record that much. But I think it was a real missed opportunity for them. And I think that whatever, you know, vaguely positive feeling that Tim Kaine had going into last night, I think he lost it 90 minutes later.
The good part for the Democrats is that this is probably the last time you're going to hear Tim Kaine on the national news. The bad news for the Republicans, it's probably the last time you're going to hear Mike Pence get this much attention for the rest of the campaign. So let's enjoy it while we can, Jim, because we actually heard some conservatism last night.
One other morning newsletter put it very well. You know what we learned last night, Greg?
What's that?
Tim Kaine will never be the Democratic nominee.
And he's probably not far left enough anyway. So, but that definitely sealed the deal. Mike Pence, different story, depending on how this year turns out. So, Jim, enjoy the rest of your drive. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.